Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you.
Slow roller, LeMayu, and the Yankees win. Tanaka, a complete game shutout. That is a man's performance. What an outing by Masahiro Tanaka.
Well, I tell you what, Michael, and that's a statement right there. He has not.
Welcome to the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. Took a little bit of a long break. Getting over this whole Trevor Bauer mess, and I'm going to get to him later. But my head is spinning, just like all of you guys, I'm sure. Yanks made a lot of moves in between my last show and today. Obviously, they brought back DJ. Signed the guy I was talking about, so like I always say, I will take credit for it. Corey Kluber traded for Jameson Taillon. Very interesting. Not the guy we all thought they were going to get. I was kind of disappointed in it. I thought it was a poor man's move. But I'm starting to come around. And not just because he's a Yankee now, and obviously I cheer for whoever's on my team. But, the kid is coming back from his second Tommy John. He beat cancer. And those are all great stories. And hopefully there'll be some fans in the stands to cheer him on in spring training and during the season at some point. That would be great. He deserves all that. I'm always interested more in results, as I'm sure the Yankees are themselves. It looks like he changed his throwing motion. Seems to be throwing harder. I'm sure having his best friend in Gerrit Cole isn't going to hurt too much. And I'm interested to see what this kid can do. They got him this year. They got him next year. And we'll see what happens. I mean, that's about it. Until we really see this dude pitch for us, there's not a whole lot to say. They also signed veteran sidearmer Darren O'Day. I haven't seen that it's official yet, meaning they have to move somebody off the 40-man to add him. Unless they have, I missed it. I don't know. Doesn't matter. He'll be there at some point. And a good sneaky move by the Yankees. I thought this dude, he might be like 38 years old or whatever, but he can still pitch. And I remember, as most of you guys do, when he was on the Orioles, he was giving us fits. So it'll be good to see him do that to other people besides us. Like it. Big fan of that move. Cashman seems to have woken up and finally done stuff. Now, we didn't get Bauer. We didn't get Castro. We didn't get, pretty much anybody out there that's worth a lot of money. And me, because I'm not a GM, I'm not somebody who gets paid to think down the line, although I like to think that I should see moves coming down the line, but I didn't because I wasn't expecting it. But anyway, the reason why it seems that they're going, I don't want to say so cheap because they still have like, you know, the third or fourth highest payroll in baseball. Somehow the Red Sox have the number two highest payroll. That seems weird to me. Unexpected. Anyway, so they're under the threshold of 210. I believe they are at like 202, 203, something like that. So they have like $8 million, give or take, spent. The reason why they're doing this is to reset the tax threshold. That way next year they can spend and they won't be penalized. Now, if I'm wrong, let me know. But I'm pretty sure I'm right. They did this before. Because there's levels. I believe there's levels. And I think once you can reset that, then you can kind of like get away from it for a year or so. So, anyway, there's supposed to be some big names out there. And we'll see what happens. See who they get. Really, this team, for the most part, is set. Now, I know you're thinking, I'm thinking it too, we still don't have an established number two. Now, Kluber and Tylon are going to have to battle for that number two position. Basically, spring training will determine that. If injuries don't happen, if these guys can stay healthy, then great. Innings limits are pretty much going to be on everybody this year except for Cole. That's the one thing that scares me a little bit. Now, I'm a little concerned with the fact that Kluber was injured last year. He's coming back. Should be good to go. He performed in front of Kresge, and he looks good, according to what reports are saying. So we'll see. Tylon hasn't pitched, well, since almost 2 years. With the Tommy John. Obviously didn't pitch last year. Should be ready to go. We'll see what happens with that. But I think the Yankees are probably, they're not going to let these guys go out there and throw 200 innings. Now they got six or seven other guys in the whole rotation here. Plus Severino at some point in the season. Although I've been saying this for months. Will be on innings limits for sure. You just don't come back from Tommy John and expect to not be held back, because that's what they do. Excuse me. So, we'll have to wait and see what happens. But Kluber, I think, is a steal. O'Day, I think, is a steal. Tylon could be a steal. And they'll have him for this year or next year. So, hopefully, and not paying him shit, really. It's like $3 million. Now, sadly, because of these moves, that left us with not being able to re-sign Tanaka. Now, Tanaka went back to his old team in Japan, and it's a one-year deal, and we wish him luck. Hopefully, I have a sneaky suspicion that once they are able to reset the tax next year for the Yankees, maybe they bring him back. He did say he has unfinished business in America. Well, being that he didn't want to go pitch for any other team, not sure if there was offers or not, but I'm sure there was. Just maybe not what he thought was good. And really, he's only getting paid like $7 million in Japan, which is about half of what he wanted from the Yankees. I could see the Yankees bringing him back for maybe one last go around, a year. To kind of, you know, if they're ready to go, why not? I think he performed very well in his 7 years here. And it would make a great story. Maybe for personal reasons. I know a lot of us would love it. As long as the price is right, of course. I don't want to, you know, break out a whole shitload of money just to have him pitch here for a year. But I think I would like to see it. I think a lot of you would like to see that as well. Where are we now? So, gonna love this. Latest report here saying the Yankees reportedly not interested in Yasiel Puig. We can file that under the no shit, Sherlock, file. We've been saying that for months. Where would they even play him? You know, we're talking about bringing Gardner back, and it's the same thing, and they would get him a hell of a lot cheap. Now, being the kind of contract that Bauer got, and he's represented by Luba. What's to say that she doesn't get him the biggest contract ever for a positional player? I wouldn't doubt her at this point. She fucking came in and kicked ass for for Trevor Bauer, where none of us, not a single goddamn one of us, thought that no fucking way she was going to get him that kind of a deal. I don't, and not because she's a woman or anything like that. I think it's because COVID, every team was being cheap, and she managed to pin two teams against each other, and none of them were the Yankees, and I'm glad for that, because at that contract, no fucking way. And I've been on record here on my show saying that I wouldn't give more than 32 a year. That would have been my max. And then at one point, I thought, well, the market is starting to reveal itself to nobody's getting that kind of money. You might be able to steal him for under 30 a year. How great would that have been? And then you hear, oh, the Mets look like they're going to sign him. I'm thinking, that's a fucking steal. I'm like, you know, Cashman should step in here and maybe try to make an offer here. Well, he didn't, and thank God he didn't, because maybe he got a whiff of what the numbers were and was like, I'm staying the fuck out of this. And we all saw what happened. Now, I'm not there yet. I want to save that to the end, but I'll get to that in a minute. So where does that leave us now? We have pretty much our rotation set with Cole, Kluber, Taillon, Montgomery, and then there's Garcia, King, and Clark Schmidt. Okay, that's pretty much our guys right now. Seve midway through the season. And that's who we're going to war with. Maybe a midseason trade at some point. But you know the old Cashman line, when he gets an injured player back, that's like an acquisition. Well, you were paying him anyway, so it doesn't matter. So we'll see what happens. There's always room for improvement. The bullpen is pretty much set as well, although I still feel like we need another arm. O'Day is nice, and we gave up Otto to the Red Sox, which still seems crazy to me anyway. But we do need another arm. And let's see what we got here. Free agent-wise, there's a list here. Top free agents still available. Now, there's Turner, which is no shot. He comes here. We don't need him. Paxton is still out there, which is interesting. A lot of Yankee fans on Twitter have been thinking about him lately and saying, what if we offered him a low-end contract, kind of a prove-it one-year deal? We have $8 million. Maybe we offer him $5 million, something like that. Would you think he would sign? I mean, obviously he wants more. I don't know what market is there for him now. Now, Toronto might be in on him because of the Canada thing. The Phillies need pitching. The Cardinals, the Giants, the Mets could probably take a shot at him maybe. But I think the Mets feel like they're pretty much set. I mean, Bauer, I think, was a luxury. Bauer was the guy I think they thought was going to put them over the top. They pretty much have a rotation, injuries aside, even though they got rid of Mats. Jackie Bradley Jr. still out there. Interesting. Him going anywhere other than Boston is a plus. All right? Even if he ends up going to Toronto, which is not going to happen, but it's still a plus. Anywhere he goes pretty much hurts the Red Sox. I'm in favor of it, like every Yankee fan. I don't know how much he wants. He's probably going to want a pretty decent chunk of change. But the Red Sox are, I don't know how much they can give him since they're obviously so close to the threshold themselves. And they're going to be a shit team this year. Phillies can be in on him. The Mets can be in on him. The Mets need a center fielder. So I wouldn't actually be surprised if he ends up in Queens, which would be all right with me. I don't give a shit. Anything to hurt the Red Sox, I'm fine with. Taijuan Walker. Now, he's an interesting guy to me because I feel like maybe I'm not seeing him right. Maybe he is better than what we think he is. I'm not sure because I never really looked at him as somebody who could be a big game guy. I don't know. He ended up being traded to Toronto last year. I think we saw him in one or two games. I think he beat us in one of those games. Looked all right. Nothing spectacular. I don't know. Maybe I need to take a deep dive on him, but maybe not because I don't feel like the Yankees are even interested in him. I feel like I said before, their rotation is pretty much set. And so I don't know where he'll end up. Jake Odorizzi's out there. See what happens to him. But number six on this list is the guy that we all want. The other Trevor Rosenthal. Now, because we obviously, most of Yankees Twitter wanted Bauer. And, of course, it wasn't going to happen, which I think we all knew. But doesn't mean I wasn't out there fighting for it as hard as I could anyway, even though it fell flat. But I'm not there yet. Back up. I'll get to my Bauer rant soon. Trevor Rosenthal. If you want to find a lights-out closer on the free agent market, Rosenthal is your best bet. This is an overpowering 100-mile-an-hour fastball just sitting there for the signing. The veteran righty rebounded from a disastrous 2019 season where he couldn't throw a strike to have a dominant 2020 for the Royals and Padres. Now, this dude is a stud. And honestly, I don't know how much money they're looking to set aside to bring back Gardner for whatever fucking reason why they want to bring back Gardner when they got like 35 outfielders now. And you'd be hurting Clint Frazier's progress. Take that money. If there's $8 million left, give him all $8 million. He's worth it. If you have to make another trade to free up a spot, do it. This guy should be on this team for multiple years. He's a stud. And I'll tell you what, when on those days when we feel like Chapman doesn't have it, or we're feeling uneasy about Mr. Excitement, as I like to call him, Rosenthal is a nice option to have when you need a right-handed pitcher, when, you know, your options are Britton or Chapman. So that's somebody we need to get. And I don't know what the market is for him. Relievers are starting to go now, but this is a guy that they really, really should look into. The rest of the people out there are starters, utility guys, blah, 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 blah. But that's the guy. And I feel like he would love to be here. So let's get that out into the universe, fans. Let's see if we can make Rosenthal become a Yankee. Tweet at him. Tweet at the Yankees. Tag them both in the same tweet. Let's see if we can get this going. Like, you know, like the bullshit we did with the Reds with Castillo. Let's see if we can get that kind of reaction from their GM. Let's see if we can get that kind of reaction from Rosenthal. Let's see if we can get Cashman to comment on it. For those of you guys who are in the in with him, let's see if you can get a hold of Cashman, if you get to talk to him and say, hey, you know, this team is pretty much set. You did a pretty good job this offseason, but there's just one more piece out there that we really think we should have. One more piece that we really would need to kind of lock this thing down. And that would be Trevor Rosenthal. Cash, let's make this happen. All right, get going, buddy. Then there's some bullshit going on with the baseball now. A report came out today that's saying that the league is deciding to doctor the ball. I just don't get it. They want to make this game so fucking exciting all the time, and they cannot ever get out of their own goddamn way. Right? Every fucking time. It's whether they're fighting with the players union in public, literally WWF style, WWE, excuse me. And it's just ridiculous. Like, handle your business in private. We don't want to hear it. We just want to hear shit getting together. So MLB will change its baseball after record home run rates. Okay. Apparently because they do own Rawlings, which is, I always thought it was weird. Or at least the majority ownership of them. That because balls are being hit out in a goddamn record pace, because they juice the balls, you know, to bring excitement to the game. We come to expect this. We've come to live with it now. And, you know, the Yankees are kind of built for it. So we're all about it. We're happy. Right? So basically what they're going to do is kind of deaden the ball a little bit, which kind of equates from what they say is like putting the walls back in the outfield 5 more feet. I don't know how much of a difference that's going to make, but that's going to make a certain percentage worth of difference. That can be, just for the sake of an example here, that could be the difference for Tyler Wade hitting a 2-row back home run in right field or hitting a fly out to the wall. You know, for Stanton and Judge, it's not going to make a difference. For Voit and big guys like that, even LeMahieu, it's not going to make a difference. For the little guy, and hell, I'll even make this argument. Remember when Gardner a couple years ago was tattooing the shit out of the ball? He ended up with more home runs than Judge. That's because the ball was lit. That ball was alive. It was juiced. All right? And then this year, it was supposed to be, well, they didn't say they did any changes to the ball, but you know it was because the home runs were definitely down. And granted, it was a 62-game season. We all know blah, 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 blah. All everybody's numbers were down. But comparable, I think the ball was definitely a little bit more dead. Now, I'm not a scientist, so I don't know how these things work. But for everybody clamoring to get Gardner back, if they're deading the ball, well, then every time Gardner really tries to put a charge into one, now he's got a little bit of pop. I'm not saying he doesn't have pop. But if he gets home run happy, that could be more flyouts than home runs. And for a guy who struggled a lot last year, it's not what you want to see. So just keep that in mind. I hope they don't bring him back. And it's not because I don't love him, but it's time. All right? Frazier is here, and he's ready to go, and they didn't move him. Cashman has basically said he's our guy going in. And Gardner only disrupts that, I think, at this point. Now, they wanted to bring him back maybe as like a final send-off, like because they feel like he deserves it because he's the last guy on this team. Well, not on this team currently, but the last guy from the championship year of 09. You know what? It's great in theory. There's no fans that are going to be there, really. So it's time to let him go. He's like 37 years old. He can still play great defense. But it's just, at this point, what does he have left that he hasn't shown us already? He's a guy that rarely gets hurt, and he can play center field and left field pretty damn good still. We all know that. But he, like I said, him being there is a detriment to Clint Frazier's progression. Because at this point, Clint needs to know that this is his job now. And I feel like they're kind of doing it right, finally. Like, the whole thing in the playoffs was kind of wrong. Where Clint pretty much came in, he took the job like he was supposed to, and then he got benched for, you know, the veteran guy. And how is he supposed to learn? How is he supposed to progress if he's not out there playing? Now, I'm sure he'll be continually to work on his defense and everything else, and he'll be fine. But he's the guy, all right? And we got so much outfield depth now that we signed. We got Socrates Brito. We got Greg Allen. Talkman's still there, and I like to see Talkman end up being the number 4 guy. Stanton and Judge doing yoga, so maybe they're more flexible. I wouldn't mind seeing Stanton go out there and play a little bit. Not every day. I don't want that. But why can't he go out there and play once a week, twice a week? I mean, really. He's getting paid a shitload of money to be the DH. Where I almost feel like maybe he wouldn't get hurt as much if he was out there running around and stretching his legs. He really only ever gets hurt like sliding in the bases and shit. Maybe he should stop doing that. But, you know, if you can run the goddamn bases, you should be able to run the goddamn outfield. And, you know, I'm not saying he's a gold glove guy, but why can't he play out there once a week? Maybe play right field when Judge needs a day off? Why can't we do that? To me, there's really no excuse for it. They shouldn't have to make him a full-time DH. But we're going to carry on as if he is until proven otherwise. So back to the rules here. And then they're doing away with that. I don't know. I mean, to me, it's just you're killing the sport more with these stupid rules, I think, in my opinion. Now, some people seem to like it, and that's fine. And that's why they're doing it, because some people like it. And you know what? It worked for a shortened season. It worked for a COVID season where things had to be changed. Now, I'm not naive. I don't pretend to think that you guys are naive because you listen to the show, number one, and two, you're smart fans. Now, everything that they did last year is a test balloon, first and foremost, all right? They did what they needed to do for COVID. They did what they needed to do to make fucking changes to basically save money, all right? Now, and that's fine. I get it. And we learned to live with it. We didn't have a choice. We just wanted the games. It took so long to get it. They were going back and forth. We just wanted the goddamn sport. We were all cooped up in our houses. We were going fucking stir crazy. And we needed a break. We needed something to take our minds, to give us excitement, to give us hope. And we learned to make concessions. And we did what we had to do. Okay? So last year they did the fucking seven-inning doubleheaders. Okay? Well, they're bringing that back. All right? And then they had the man on second bullshit in the extra innings, which I am not a fan of. To me, that is not baseball. All right? If you build the game on home runs and strikeouts and shit, now you're begging a team to play small ball to get a guy over. Now, granted, a lot of you are going to say, well, they should know how to do that. You're right. They should know how to do that. Okay? But they shouldn't have to do it because there shouldn't be a guy on second base. And mainly because I feel bad for the pitchers that has to come in and inherited a guy in scoring position. What is that shit? This ain't softball. Why are we making this softball? Now, granted, I play softball. I fucking love softball. But then again, I don't expect guys that are 100 million times more athletic and better than me to be playing the same kind of rules that I have to play with, because that's just the way it is. These guys are professionals. And if you can't score in that inning, then you better keep the other team from scoring. And then you better try to score the next inning. I don't care if games go 20 innings. As long as my team wins, then I get mad. But it always comes down to money. And it always comes down to TV. And it always comes down to, well, I need a game to be no more than 4 hours. Because you know, football, the games are rarely ever over like 3.5 hours. Right? If you look on the TV guy, the 1 o'clock games are always set to like 1 to 4. Right? Some games, and they rarely make it past 4:30 because that's when the other games start. Some games go overtime, but it's rare. So they have that block, right? But with a baseball game, on a regional network, you can get away with it because that's what they're there for. On the S network, you're there to watch the game. They don't have to worry about programming. Programming is done around that. But if Fox has a game, or ESPN has a game, or any of the other major networks has a game, or some of the other teams that maybe don't have their own network and they're on regional channels that are local to their area, well, it's hard to budget a game, all right, because there's no time limit in a baseball game. It can literally go for days. Now, granted, they'll break, you know, I guess there's an hour's limit, but ultimately, they can go 20 innings a night. And that's fine. I'm down for it. I feel like if you go to a game and you want to leave, leave. But to me, when I used to go to the game, I would divert a whole day to it. Okay? That was my whole day. Now, I live in Pennsylvania. And I've lived up here since 1991. All right? Was raised in New York prior to that. So, obviously, I'm a Yankees fan. Moved up here when I was 10. And I had gotten season tickets starting in 2000, but my friend had tickets for me for the World Series in 99. I talked about this the other day on Twitter. I was at my first World Series game, my first playoff game ever, was, I believe it was game, I want to say three. It was two or three, but I think it was three, because I think two they were on the road. Anyway, so it was three, and that was the Chad Curtis walk-off home run game. Remember that with the interview with Jim Gray, and he was like, we don't want to talk to you because of the whole Jim Gray thing from back then. I don't remember much about it. I'm sure some of you might, but whatever. Awesome game, right? So I bought into my buddy's season tickets, and it was a Saturday package. And so we had every Saturday home game and Old Timers Day, which was very cool. I got to see Mattingly's first Old Timers Day in person. Awesome. Seen a lot of great games. We mainly did it for the option to get the playoffs in the World Series. I saw a lot of great playoff games. You've all heard me say I was at the Brocious game in 01. Best game I ever saw live. Seen some bad games, too. I was at the game against Detroit when, I guess it was 07, when they got eliminated, and we all knew it was pretty much Joe Torre's last game managing. It was like a fucking funeral. I'm sure some of you were there. Some of you can remember that. Anyway, I'm going off subject. Now, to me, when you go to a game, you're not thinking, oh, it starts at 1 o'clock. It'll be over by 4:30, 5 o'clock. 4 hours, you know, 5 o'clock. 4 hours, pretty much. And most of the time, you'll be right. A lot of games go fast. Some games take their time. Some games drag. Yankees-Red Sox games go like 4.5, 5 hours pretty much every time. Before the bullpen rule, these teams would empty out their fucking bullpens, and it would just add like 3 hours more to the game than it needed to. But you learn to accept that. Why? Because we've been conditioned since kids that that's the way it goes. You learn to live with it. When I would go to these games, I didn't have any other plans. That was my day. So if the game started at 1 and it didn't end to 7 or 8 o'clock, and then I had to drive another 2 hours back home, that was the day. You signed up for that. I was fine with it. Never complained. Loved it. I used to tell my family all the time when there was family engagements and things like that I missed all the time. I used to say, well, when you win, at that point, it was 26 rings, it was before 09. When you win 26 rings, I'll come to your family events too. Which is pretty funny. And, you know, granted, I was a young man at the time, so I know a lot of you family guys out there are like, damn, dude, that's fucked up. I legitimately said that shit to them. I missed a lot of shit. I used to tell them, you better have these fucking family barbecues on a Sunday, because if I have a Yankee game that day, well, you're not going to see me. I used to take off of work. I used to tell my boss the same thing. Oh, yeah, I didn't give a fuck. It was the Yankees. It still is the Yankees. I love my family, and I try to make more concessions than I would have before my son was born 10 years ago. Almost 11. He's going to be 11 on Friday, so happy birthday to my son. Love you. But before he was born and before I was really serious with his mother and the love of my life, I didn't give a shit about anything when it came to my sports, Yankees, Rangers, Giants. If I had something to do with those teams that day, you didn't exist in my life. And it may sound harsh, and the older I get, you know what? I missed a lot. Some things I wish I could have back now because of, you know, my father not being around anymore. But, you know, those were decisions I made. And you can't change it. But back then, that's the way I felt. And, you know, I try to watch every game I can. I try to at least keep up with everything I can. Because you're either a fan or you're a casual fan, all right? And if you're a casual fan, then I got no use for you. I'm only interested in fans and like-minded people that are diehard for your teams, because that's passion, all right? It's not my life anymore like it used to be. because as you get older and things change in your life, but it's still a big part of my life. I make it a big part of my life. And, you know, it's just the way it is. But you planned all day for that kind of thing, right? So now baseball wants to make, you know, the doubleheaders. And, you know, it's basically a day-night doubleheader with like 45 minutes off. And but there's seven-inning games. Now, I like the fact that they made the layover between games short, because I always like that. If you're going to have it like an old-school day-night doubleheader, you finish the game, half-hour break, boom, start the second game. Great, I'm all about it, because why should we have like a two-hour break in between games? You can't leave the fucking stadium. They won't let you back in unless you got specific tickets for that second game. But if you're at the first game and you can stay for both, you can't leave. So start the fucking game. That part I agree with. The seven innings, I don't like it. I'm not a fan. It really shortens the game. And you know why? In my softball leagues, especially my 35 and older league I play in the summers, why we have seven innings and we play two games, and as soon as we get that final out, we're immediately starting the second game. Like, I'm telling you, like a minute after the final out, because our particular fields don't have lights on them. Now, some of our other leagues have lights, so it's not a big issue. But this one, our leagues, we don't, and so we got to play right away. And seven innings is great. When you start at 6 and you got to get done by 8 o'clock, that's where you got to really play hard. I feel like with major league players, the way they're conditioned, you're asking them to fucking rev it up maybe a little earlier than they should have to. It sounds like excuses and bullshit, and believe me, I would agree. For the most part, I agree, right? Players get paid. They're already in primo fucking athletic shape. They should be able to do it. But that's not their mindset, and you know that. And you know I'm right. But now you're shortening the game. For Garrett Cole, that's great, because he can go seven innings on a fucking blink. It's not a big deal. For some of our other pitchers, over the past few years anyway, maybe they can't. Maybe they can only go three because everybody's got fucking pitching limits now. 100 pitches, you can throw 100 pitches in three innings. Now you got to use the bullpen. And then you might have to use some of those guys in the second game. And knowing how things are now, you burn a guy in two games back to back. Well, he can't pitch for 3 days now. It's fucking ridiculous. Right? So, and then there's the extra man bullshit and the taxi squad and all this other stuff. And I'm just like, come on. And I don't know this year if there's going to be any minor league baseball. I heard that I think they're going to have a shortened season too. They really need to. If you're able to do it in major league baseball, you need to do it in the minor leagues. And at this point, I think we should start letting fans back in. Now, not because we're all starving for it, and they can do it responsibly. They did it in the Super Bowl. And granted, minor leagues don't have the fucking capacity like everybody else, but you can let a few people in, and that would be fine with me. And as long as people don't get sick, I'm down for it. And even with spring training, and maybe you do away with autographs, and I know that's a big part of spring training, but you keep everybody separate, and that's just the way it is, you know? But you can surely let a couple hundred people in the stadium on a daily basis for spring training. I don't see where the problem is. As long as they're spaced out, everybody's wearing a mask, everybody's doing what they're supposed to do, we could start gradually introducing the fans back into the sports. All right? I really feel like there really isn't a whole good enough reason anymore to keep the fans away. Now, I could be wrong. I've been wrong many of times. But I think a lot of you are going to agree with me on that. All right, we'll wait to see in a couple weeks if there's like a hell of an outbreak from the Super Bowl. But if there isn't, and it's in Florida, and we know how fucked up Florida can be, then there really isn't a reason why. Now, obviously, it comes down to states and what they believe, and every state's got different numbers and blah, 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 blah. We can talk about that when it gets closer. But if we can bring the fans back, then maybe they don't have to do the 7 innings. Maybe they don't have to do the man on second bullshit in the extra innings. And if we bring the fans back, slowly but surely, maybe we can get our sport back. How great would that be? All right? Eventually, there's going to be a DH in the National League. I'm fine with that. That should have been a thing years ago. I'd love to see them get rid of this stupid 3 batters minimum bullpen bullshit. And I'm hoping they don't make this second base in extra innings bullshit permanent, or the 7-inning doubleheaders permanent. Because where would they stop? Maybe they'll decide, you know what? We can do all our games in 7 innings, and then we can really maximize that 3-hour time block on TV. Where's the line stop? Things we need to be aware of, things we need to keep an eye on. Remember, Clown Fred works for the owners. If the owners are fine with this, especially now, where things like this can be saving the money, we'll see. We have to keep an eye on that. Now, here we are. I'm going to end it here. I'm gonna have my Bauer rant now. I did say I was going to go full heel. I'm going to go full heel on Bauer because of what he did. We all saw what he did. He fucking used the Mets. All right. And believe me, I'm not a Met fan by any stretch of the means. You obviously know that. I can give two shits about them. I find it kind of funny that them being used for a player to get more money out of another team. It's kind of like what a lot of players and Scott Boras used to do to the Yankees. So it is kind of funny. It's ironic. Now, when we all thought he was going to sign with the Mets, apparently on his bullshit website, he had Mets merchandise on there, and I guess a promo code or a coupon code or some bullshit like that. I've seen screen grabs of it, and then it was pulled. Right? And then a few hours later, the next day, he's going to the Dodgers. And Met fans, understandably upset. And I would be too. I would flip shit if he pulled this shit on the Yankees. And not just because everybody in baseball would fucking love it, because whenever something bad happens to the Yankees, that's fucking candy to everybody else. That's gold. Right? We have to suffer it, and that's part of being a Yankee fan. When we win, we get to enjoy it. When we lose, everybody gets to shit on us, and that's just the way it goes. But as a Met fan, I could see where they would be pissed. Now, he puts out an apology to the Met fans, which is like a shit ton here. I'm not even going to read it all, but you've all seen it. And then it was like, you know, go ahead and boo me. As long as you're cheering, I'm happy. Blah, 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 blah. You know, he's trying to be PC about it. He fucked up. He was like, I'm sorry. I owe you an explanation. This wasn't supposed to go that way. I truly didn't know which way I was going to go when I woke up on Friday. Bullshit. You knew what you were going to do. Your fucking agent knew what you were going to do. You both knew. And she kept saying it was down to two teams. It wasn't like, oh, the Mets. No, it was the Mets offered me a better deal, but maybe not the way I wanted the deal. And the Dodgers did. Plus, the Dodgers are a ready-made championship team, so I can go there, win a ring, opt out in a year or two, when he gets the bulk of that ridiculous contract. Ridiculous. Right? He can opt out, and then he'll only be like 32, 33 years old. Could probably land another five-year deal. Making a shit ton of money, especially if he wins a ring. Let's say he wins this, another Cy Young Award, which, I mean, I don't know. Everybody's got an opinion on it. He's obviously using that pine tar shit that every other pitcher is using, which is fine. I don't care about that. If it makes you pitch better, great. And like I've always said, you would ask a batter, they'll be all for it. All right? But his apology is bullshit. And honestly, him making it was even a bigger fucking smack in their face than if he'd have just said nothing. It would have blown over. They would have just booed him. Instead, he gave them ammunition to just hate him. And he's all about the content. And he, you know, I guess bad content is still good content because you can spin it. And he's got his, I mean, I was trying to get this guy on the team for the longest time. You all know that. I dedicated a fucking episode to recruiting this guy, for Christ's sakes. All right? I did everything I can. It didn't work out. I'm not sure it was ever really a possibility. And fine, whatever. I kind of knew it wasn't. I was trying to force it to be something more than it was. A lot of other of you guys on Twitter were doing the same thing. A lot of you guys were like, fuck him. We don't want this guy on his team. He's a fucking douchebag. You know what? Everybody's right. And that's the funny thing. He is a douchebag, but he's a talented douchebag. And I felt like him as our number two, not for $40 million a year, mind you, would have been great for this rotation for maybe a few years to come. He obviously didn't want to do that. He obviously, I don't know if the Yankees made an offer. I don't know what. Nobody knows what is going on in terms of the Yankees or Bauer camp. If they had any conversations at all, maybe one day he'll at least say so. Maybe his agent will say so. I don't know. But what he did to the Mets was fucked up. And I know a lot of us are laughing at the Mets because it is kind of funny. And as a Yankee fan, it is funny. But as somebody who's been through this before with other players, guys we didn't get because they used us to get more money, it sucks. But we've never had them kind of smack us in the mouth and try to justify it too. I honestly didn't know which way I was going to go when I woke up this morning. Oh, shut up. I don't fucking believe that for a minute. Yeah, the $104 million over 3 years that you got from the Dodgers with an opt-out each year pretty much makes it simple for you, right? Even though the Mets reportedly offered more, maybe the opt-out, probably my guess, would not have been after the year one. If it was about job security and long-term, you take the better deal. But no, he has to prove he's the smartest guy in the world. He's trying to reinvent the fucking game, right? And he's going to show it every step of the way. Now, for content, he's a goddamn genius. But as an athlete, he's a goddamn moron. You don't reinvent the game. All right? Because even though he got the sweetheart fucking deal that he wanted, which is to me was unfucking believable. I can't even fucking believe the Dodgers gave him this money. It makes no fucking sense to me. All right? So they gave him this fucking money. All right? And he got everything he fucking wanted out of us. He didn't get to leave fucking LA. He didn't have to go to the fucking Angels. Right? Which is a double win. So he gets to stay home and not play for the Angels. Boom. He got more fucking money than he would have gotten from the Angels. Because I can't even see the Anaheim going fucking $40 million a year plus. Ridiculous. All right? And he's on a fucking team that already won the World Series. All he has to do is show up. He's not even their number one pitcher. He's making more money than anybody in baseball. He's their number three guy in their rotation. Come on. If he's not even good enough to be their ace, How could he justify making $40 million a year? Gerrit Cole makes 36 and change a year. And he's the ace of the Yankee staff. He'd be an ace on every fucking team he'd be on. Maybe except the Mets with the Grom. That's a debatable argument. All right. But any other team, automatically. And I know you can say, oh, but he wasn't an ace on fucking Houston with Verlander. He was the ace. He was better than Verlander. And even though Verlander won the Cy Young, that was bullshit. We all know it. But anyway, whatever. It doesn't matter. He makes $40 million a year. He's their number three guy. He's had an average career at best. But I'm willing to believe that the guy he was last year is the guy he will continue to be. I think he can be dominant. He's going to lose some games like everybody does. Everybody has bad days. I think he could be that guy permanently that he was in what Breaking Balls would say Mickey Mouse Cy Young. And she's right. But he did win it. And I believe that that pitching translate, granted, it was against both of the horrible, weakest divisions that they are. I get it. But I think he can translate that stuff. Maybe not to the same exact results that he had in Cincinnati, but there's no reason to believe that he can't be somewhat of the same pitcher with the Dodgers. He's going to face the Padres a lot, and we'll see. And other teams, and some of the American League teams. But if he's using that fucking pine tar resin shit, he could continue to do that stuff. So that's why I wanted to take a shot on him. Because I feel like who he was last year is who he's going to continue to be. At least to somewhat of the same results. And not the guy he was before that, when he was sitting there crying about every pitcher using fucking pine tar, and I don't do that, but when he knew he was becoming a free agent and he was looking for big time money, oh, look at that. I got fucking a shit ton of fucking spin rate on my fastball all of a sudden. Okay, because that just happens out of nowhere, especially when you're about 30 years old and you've been in the league for a long time. Okay, I'm dumb. Let's play along here. Okay, I mean, come on. We learn to accept it because most pitchers do that. And it's been understood for years. You just don't make it obvious to the other team. It's kind of lack of respect. It's one of the unwritten rules, folks. We all know it. That's the one we all pretty much agree with, though, right? This cocksucker. And I already unfollowed him. And I unfollowed his agent, too, because I'm done with them now. I don't need them. I don't care much for his content anymore. I'm a big believer that once you're not on the Yankees anymore and you're on another team, I'm pretty much done following you. Unless you were like a favorite. You know, like a Didi. I still follow Didi. I think I do anyway. I follow other players. Former players, right? As long as there's a connection to the team and you've earned it, I will follow you. But if you don't come here, you don't even, I don't know, you attempt to come here. I don't, like I said, I don't know the story. But fuck you. You went to LA. We might have to beat your ass in the fucking World Series if we get there, if you get there. So you're the enemy now. I'm not going to cheer for you. I'm done with you. Take your fucking money and go. And if you're stupid enough to opt out after year one, you're not getting another $40 million a year contract. So you're gonna pitch your first 2 years there. You're going to get the bulk of the deal. And then when you fucking opt out after year two, because in year three, you'll be making 17 and change a year. I know, right? Crazy. Right? That's an insult. But they knew this is a two-year deal. So now you've made the bulk of the money, like 80-something million dollars. And then you're going to test free agency again. And we'll see what happens then. If your numbers are good enough, hey, you know what? You may fucking surprise us then. Maybe the Yankees are stupid enough to buy into it. I don't know. But I wanted you now. We didn't get you. For whatever reasons. So I'm done with you. I'm done with your act. I'm done with your bullshit. I'm done with your agent's bullshit. You know, I've had a few interactions with her. And I get it. She's an agent and it's agent speak. But it's like, you know, I know I'm a nobody. I know this show isn't anything big, hopefully, yet. I put in a request to talk to him, to interview him, to interview her, to interview both of them. Just to do a personal pitch to the Yankees, but it was never even considered. It was never even answered. Am I mad about it? No, I'm not mad about it. It was expected. Who the fuck am I, right? But you know what? He didn't give any interview to a Yankee fan other than John Boy. But he knew John Boy. All right? They were friends already. They've done shit together. And it's fine. But John Boy does... He has his Yankee show and he has his baseball show. Now, I believe he was talking to him on his baseball show, so it isn't going to be Yanks-oriented. I'm sure, you know, I did see a clip of him trying to make a little bit of a pitch. But I think he knew at that point it wasn't going to happen. So it was kind of lighthearted. And it is what it is. But if he'd have came on this show, I would have been pitching it to him. And see how he generally feels. There's no harm in that. He didn't even go on any of the Yankee shows to talk to any of the Yankee podcasts. God knows there's a million of them. I would have been happy just to see him go on somebody's show and talk to a Yankee fan. He talked to a goddamn Dodger fan. That's out there. I think he talked to the fucking Met fan. Did he talk to anybody else? I don't know. He probably talked to a goddamn Angels fan. I don't know who he's talked to. But I know he didn't talk to a Yankee fan. And that pisses me off. Because what is the rule, folks? When you're trying to get the most money, you got to draw the Yankees in. Now, if the Yankees were out from the beginning, they never, as far as I know, they never said anything about it. It's almost as if he didn't exist. But whatever. I'm not bitter. We're on to the next thing. I want Trevor Rosenthal now. We all do. Shore up the bullpen. All I'm saying is, his bullshit apology... As a baseball fan, just rubbed me the wrong way. And I know I keep going off, and I'm coming back to it. It's just, he is arrogant and all about himself. You honestly think he gives a fuck about pissing off the Met fans? Pissing off the 31 other teams that he didn't go to? He marketed himself to every fucking team. He's had pictures and videos and... shit wearing everybody's fucking hat, just about everybody's hat, and videos about the top five teams or whatever I would go to, and the Yankees were on that list because, you know, he's got to draw the Yankees in. And he made himself out there like he was the greatest baseball player in the world, and we accepted it. We took it because a lot of us wanted him on the team, and we figured that shit will go by the wayside as soon as he comes in here and the Yankees get a hold of him and say, listen, you know, you want a partnership and we're willing to make concessions in terms of content, but this is the team and the team way. But I don't think that was ever a consideration on his part. Now, we'll see how he conforms to the Dodger way. They are the champs and he's coming into a room that's already won. How's that going to work? You're going to be yourself? Maybe they're all about it. I don't think that shit flies at the Yanks. In Queens, you can definitely get away with that garbage. Million fucking personalities on that fucking team. Shit, they had Cespedes, and you saw how that fucking ended. Yankees don't pull that shit. And as a talent, I wanted him on this team. Realistically, I don't know if it would have ever worked. But I was willing to put that aside. I was willing, for the right price, to bring him in. After $40 fucking million dollars a year, fuck out of here with that shit. But you know what? Congratulations. Now we're going to whoop your ass. We're going to whoop your ass. And you know what? Because you're an asshole and your agent's part of you, we're gonna whoop fucking Puig's ass wherever he lands too. Because fuck him too. Because she'll probably end up getting him the best fucking deal. And yes, I do say that pure out of jealousy about how good his fucking agent was this year. Unbelievable. She fucking shocked me. It's not a woman or sexist thing. I don't do that shit. But it's just, in a COVID year, she got him the best fucking deal ever. It's amazing to me. I actually do applaud her. But she's part of fucking Bauer, so I'm done with her too. Now, if there's other free agents she has that maybe the Yankees are going after, now I'm going to be kissing her ass and talking her up and doing everything I can to get those guys on the team that we want. Until then, I'm going to put her in a timeout with Bauer because I can't fucking deal with it. But, you know, I like I said, he's the enemy now, and we have to take care of our own business with the guys we have. And we're capable. Things just really have to start going right for this team. Now, I went a little bit longer than I wanted to, but it's just, I haven't spoke to you guys in a while, and I wanted to get some things off my chest. I appreciate the hour plus that you're giving me here. I'll try to keep the next one down a little bit manageable, but hey, you know what? Like a baseball game, this podcast goes longer than it has to, right? You make time for it. I appreciate the time you give me. And follow me on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. Subscribe, leave a comment, do all the things that everybody else asks you guys to do for their show to my show. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your enemies. I don't care. Tell everybody. Make a goddamn billboard. Do what you need to do. I love you guys all. I will talk to you soon. I won't wait so long like I did last time. Pitchers and catchers report Saturday, it looks like. So there's things to talk about. And hey, you never know. It might be another move. Trevor Rosenthal, put it out there. But until then, until the next time I see you guys, go Yankees.